Well, family, I want to encourage you to take out your message notes from last week. We started a brand new series, as those of you who are with us know. If you weren't able to be with us, and if you're not on our email list, then we can't send you our message notes unless you go online to our site. So if you would like to receive the messages that we send out from the church, make sure that we have your email address. And that includes you folks that are out there in the other 49 states and in Europe and India and the Far East. We're taken aback. It's wonderful to know that we can communicate with people, you folks that we've never been able to meet had it not been for this pandemic that we're in right now. So we can give our Lord thanks for the fact that we have been able to meet you online. But again, if you take out your notes, we're looking at what I've titled, How to Travel the Road to Financial Freedom and the Good Life. Now, understand, I'm not talking about what some people call the American good life. If you follow our cultural way of pursuing money and that sort of thing, and it's in the handling of it, you're going to be on the road to financial burden and a tension-filled life. And that's not what our Heavenly Father wants for His kids. He wants for us to be able to live a life of tranquility and peace, even in the midst of times like this when we are being challenged financially. But the wonderful thing is, God our Father, He's right there to take care of each and every one of us. He knows what our needs are or are going to be, and He will be there to come alongside us. So I asked you last week, if you would, to look at 1 Chronicles 25, verse 11, the second half of that verse, and begin to memorize it. So as you can see there in your notes, in this passage, it says, "For all that is in heaven and in the earth is yours." Now, if Ezra is the author of this book, we think he may have been, but the chronicler is telling us, again, we need to remember who everything belongs to. Some of us really think that everything we have is ours. And it has been entrusted to you and to me, a portion of our Lord's estate, a portion of these things that all belong to Him, He has given to us to manage and to manage well. He wants us to have communication with Him as we use these things that He has provided for us and for Himself. We began looking last week at some startling statistics. We found that money has a tremendous impact on the lives of people. We discovered that there's three areas that come about that bring great tension in the home. And those three areas are, one, communication, poor communication. The second area is marital intimacy. And the third area is the biggest area, and it's money. You see, if you have debts and you're getting like your second notices that you're late on a bill of some kind, this is going to bring tension in the home. And if one is having tension regarding money and mom and dad are talking about this now, they're not talking about it like, oh, it's no big deal. There's tension in their voices. What are we going to do? Well, you shouldn't have bought that, or you shouldn't have bought this. Tension in the communication, poor communication because of the misuse of money. And this is going to affect your life in the bedroom as well, between a couple. So money is a big issue, and it really needs to be looked at. So the next area in your message notes, we began to look at who's in control and guidelines for handling money. And that's where we pick up this morning. You'll see in your notes where I have written, and we saw this last week, your pastor believes it is of great importance early on in one's walk with Jesus to learn how to move down the road to financial freedom and the good life. Why, you may ask? Because the scripture says here in Psalm 39, verse 4, the Lord reminds me how brief my time on earth will be, reminds me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life really is. Folks, all of our lives on earth here presently is a temporary assignment for you and for me. We will not be here all that long. Even if you live to, well, maybe you saw them on Monday of this last week. They were having an elongated celebration of Mother's Day. And they had several women and one man on the program that was over 100 years old. One woman was near 115 years old. But even if you live to 115 years of age, that's like the first 3 seconds in preschool compared to eternity. We are just at the beginning of life, even if we live 100 years. The true statement here is we need to ask our Heavenly Father to help us to see life on this planet as He sees it. He wants us to have His perspective on our life here. When I came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe a few of you can identify with this. I think I made the Lord like an add-on to my life. And as an add-on, I was still doing what I wanted to do. I wasn't thinking specifically of the career ahead of me that I wanted His okay on it. I had known from the age of 3 what I wanted to do. That was the way I was going to go. But now I'm a Christian, and I haven't really given it over to Him. So, as you see here, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, this is exactly what I was doing, the first part of this verse, when I first came to faith. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. Now, I've just come to faith, and I know that the wages of sin is death. And yet, here I am still following the unholy Trinity, me, myself, and I, being selfish, chasing after what I want to do. What I want to do. For to set your mind on the flesh is death. You see, the non-Christian is going to be setting their care, their mind on those things that are sinful. And I'm still not sure if my career and that kind of thing was sinful. I know that when I entered my career, I was being sinful because I was letting it take first place. Jesus was not first. Kathy wasn't first. My children weren't first. The career was first. That was sin on my part. It was going to take some time for Ron to wake up to what the truth really was. I'm not blaming my pastor. I should have been in the Word of God more. I should have been the one that was discovering these wonderful truths. I should have been the one, once I discovered them, living them out. But I wasn't. My career was like my G-O-D, small g. You see, to set your mind on the Spirit is life and peace. To set my mind on the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to be looking to Him for His leadership in my life, for His guidance in my life. I wasn't doing that. I would ask Him to help me with something when I couldn't do it myself. I wasn't asking for the supernatural power. I was trying to do it in the natural. Those things just bear out failure in the long run. But when our mind is on the Spirit, it's on eternal life that's going to be coming our way. And harmony and tranquility in our life, that Irene peace that we have learned about. So listen carefully. To make the best of your life, Jesus would have you never forget four truths. Four truths. And I only wish that my shepherd had shared these four truths with me. It's not his fault. But I wish now that he had shared these four truths with me. First, the purpose of your life is not about you. Now that's going to be a shock, I know, here in America. But the purpose of your life is not about you. It's not about your peace of mind or even your happiness. It is far greater than your immediate family, your advanced education, your career, or even whatever your most dazzling ambitions might be. The first purpose, the truth that our Heavenly Father wants us to get as His sons, His adopted sons and daughters, this life is no longer about you. Not from the moment that you confess and repented of your sins. Not from the moment that He saved my soul upon my telling Him how sorry I was. And at that juncture, not only did I receive His Son's righteousness in exchange for my unrighteousness, but at that very moment, I gave my life to Him, or was supposed to have given my life to Him, as His slave. I, today, understand, and for many years now, understand the privilege and the joy of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. To actually come and die, as Bonhoeffer would say. And take up your cross daily and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, doing the things He wants me to do and the way He wants me to do it. So it should be for all the children of God. C.S. Lewis, that wonderful atheist, genius atheist that came to faith in Christ, he observed, quote, "All that is not eternal is eternally useless." End of quote. All of that which is not eternal is eternally useless. But you see, that doesn't make any sense to the person whose mind is set on the flesh. Only to the follower of Jesus whose mind is set on the Spirit. So the truth is, the purpose of my life and yours who have been born again, who are the new creation, is not about you anymore. The second truth, your purpose in life is to seek the supremacy of Jesus Christ in all things. We are to be seeking His preeminence in all of our lives. We are to be seeking his preeminence as a son or a daughter. We are to be seeking his preeminence in our lives as those of us who are husbands, fathers, grandfathers. We are to be seeking the preeminence of Christ in our careers. We're to be seeking the preeminence of Jesus in everything. Everything. If you look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, there the Holy Spirit reveals to us this morning through the Apostle Paul, therefore, my beloved, and look at that word, therefore, my beloved, he says, you're my beloved, each of you, you're my beloved. That word is phileo. He's talking about the fact that he has this warm affection for you, for you. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence. Remember, he's in prison. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That which has now been worked into you, this marvelous grace and the faith and the mercies of God that have been given to you, now be following after the Spirit and living in that way that makes you look like what you are, a son or daughter of the Most High God. For it is God who works in you. The Holy Spirit's right there, remember? He wants to make you look like, become the person he wants you to be on the day of Christ Jesus. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Just think about this. Your life is enwrapped, it's all wrapped up, it's enveloped in the very life of God, the Holy Spirit. You can do supernatural things, wonderful things, glorious things that call attention to your Heavenly Father, that call attention to Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, therefore, be imitators of God. Be imitators of God. Say this out loud with me where you are. Oh, would you please? I'm to be an imitator of God. Say that. I'm to be an imitator of God. Well, what's he talking about specifically? Or is he? He is. Look here. Be imitators of God as beloved children. Again, those warmly loved children. He has a deep affection for you. And walk in love. Live in agape. Live this life out that demonstrates you're seeking that other person's best, that other person's highest good, and at your expense. We are to love him in that way. We're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Oh, yeah. And that person who's sitting next to you at home, and all the people here in the worship center, we are to seek their best and their highest good. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. This is the very example and demonstration of agape love. And it's a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. As you love people like this, you are offering up, you're worshiping the Lord. You are offering up to him your love by living this life that we have been called to. This is part of the good life. Third, the third truth is, compared with eternity, life is, as I had said even earlier, extremely brief. Extremely brief. I recall sitting in in my mother-in-law's family room with her, just the two of us talking. She finally decided she loved me. She said, "You know what, Ron? No, Georgia, I don't know." And she said, "It's all gone so fast." She was talking about her life. She was just 3 years older than I'm going to be this month. She was 78 years old. "Ron, it's gone so fast." And I think you're beginning to understand that. You know, you remember being in junior high school? I remember sitting in Mr. Baroni's history class. And I remember him talking about, now you remember, I'm a child born in the mid-40s, and I'm in junior high now in the mid-50s. And there's something about children of divorced families. Those divorced family kids, they're a terror. And I'm kind of looking around the room, and I don't know who else in this room might be in a divorced family, but why are we so bad? Well, later on, I've made a lot of confessions as illustrations as your pastor, but my life is extremely brief. But I remember that. I remember like it was yesterday. In Psalm 78:39, the psalmist says, "He remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes and comes not again." You know, when the wind blows, it passes you right by. It's gone. It's never going to come back. And that's the way we think about our life and the flesh. In Psalm 102, verse 11, the psalmist says, "My days are like an evening shadow. I wither away like grass." Have you ever been outside towards the very end of the day when the sun is just barely still up in the sky? And as you look, I can see my shadow there. My shadow goes way out like that. But at that time of the day, your shadow just goes for as far as it might want to go. But then when it goes down behind the horizon, your shadow's gone. Your shadow's gone. "My days are like an evening shadow, and I wither away like grass." When I had the privilege to be studying in Israel, at the Institute, on some mornings, I would wander out in the garden that they had there. And in this patch of dirt, and the dew was still on the ground, you would see these little slivers of grass, green grass growing. And then we would travel out by bus to wherever it was we were going to study a particular area of geography of the land from the scriptures point of view. And when we got back, it was gone. The scorching sun, while we were gone, burned it away. It was there in the morning, and by late afternoon, it was gone. "I wither away like grass." Our Lord wants us to keep these things in mind because our time here is short, and He has ministry for you to do. He has ministry for me to do. He changed my career to the one He wanted me to have from the one I wanted to have. And changing me in this direction, then I began to focus much, much less on the flesh and far more on the spirit. Many of you know what I'm talking about. And with that, then Jesus became superior in my life. I began to understand what it meant to be seeking the supremacy of Jesus in my life rather than the supremacy of Ron And with that, it just all came together with the whole truth that my life is not about me. It's about Him and how I might make Him known. That's the same for you who have been born again. So fourth, earth is only a temporary residence for us. Some of us, we've put down steel girders going down into the ground, and we've cemented them down. We act like we're here to stay. I just want you to remember what Ray Stedman said many, many years ago. You never see a hearse behind, or you never see a U-Haul trailer behind a hearse, do you? We're here temporarily. Philippians 3, 19 and 20. Their end is destruction. These people who are unbelievers, their focus is on the flesh. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But, now he's talking to you and me. He says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, Christ Jesus our Lord. That's who we're waiting for. That's where our citizenship is, not here. We're part of a royal family, a holy nation. That's who we are, family. In James chapter 1, verse 10, remembering our temporary residence, James says, and let the rich man glory in his humiliation, understanding riches are temporary. Let the rich man glory in his humiliation, because like flowering grass, he will pass away. In James 4, 14, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You may have plans for tomorrow, but I'd like you to think of them in terms of their tentative. They're tentative. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. You've probably been outside and you've seen the remnants of the fog. You know, fog is really a cloud that's down on the ground, but it's vapor. And you turn around and it's gone. That's what our lives are like, family. And that's why it's so important for us to remember, not only are we citizens of heaven, not only are we to be recognizing that, but our time here is going to be short. So we need to be about the business for which we have been saved. And that is the supremacy of Christ in all things. Because we vacated our life to be slaves in serving His. With those truths in mind, how do we travel the road to financial freedom? Why our Lord says so much about money? That's our next section. That's our next section. The fact is, the Bible contains more than 2,350 different verses dealing with money and possessions. Jesus taught more about money than he did about just about any other subject. He said so much about money and possessions for spiritual reasons, as well as personal, practical reasons too. Let's look at a couple of the spiritual reasons. How we handle money has a big impact on intimacy of our relationship with Jesus. The way we handle money is going to have an impact on the way our relationship goes with the Lord Jesus. In Luke 16:11, it says, if you have not been faithful in the use of worldly wealth, who will entrust you with true riches? Who's going to entrust you with those? Well, what are true riches? And the answer is a more intimate relationship with Jesus, the gnosko that we've been learning about for several months now. This is true riches, family. And it doesn't cost you anything other than you come and die and you give your life to Him. And He will make much of you. Question. Well, second of all here, thinking of spiritual reasons, money is a primary competitor with Jesus for the lordship over your life. It's a competitor. If one were able to look at your bank statements, one would have a pretty good idea where your head and your heart is. If one were able to see where you spend the largest portions of your money outside of gas and electric and gas for the car, one would have a pretty good idea as to whether your focus is on the spirit or if it's on the flesh. Forgetting, right, that we are the managers of that which isn't ours. The Lord has His assets that He has given to us to take care of for a time. So the question here is the way you manage your money preventing our Heavenly Father from doing more in your life? The second question is, can you be trusted with spiritual riches? Think about those questions. I really strongly encourage you to do that. In Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. Jesus said, either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Isn't it interesting? It doesn't belong to us to begin with, and yet some of us can find ourselves indebted to money. We're not on the road that leads to financial freedom. We have found ourselves following after another God. You know, that little green piece of paper that says, in God we trust on it? No, what it's really saying is, you believe in me, this piece of paper. Because if we believed in God, then money would not become an idol in our lives. Practical reasons why Jesus spoke so much about money and possessions. The fact is, our Lord Jesus knew we needed wisdom in using money. He has revealed in Scripture His principles for working, earning, spending, saving, giving, investing, getting out of debt, and teaching children how to handle money. It's all right here in this wonderful document that He has protected for thousands of years. If people have been taught anything about Abba Father's way of handling money, it has usually been about giving. And although giving is very important the principles of earning and spending have rarely been taught. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. I've paraphrased it as I've thought through it. This is how it speaks to my heart. Never stop reciting these teachings. All these things that have been revealed to us by the Holy Spirit regarding the road to financial freedom and the good life. Never stop reciting these teachings. You must think about them night and day. Being in the Word night and day. So that you will faithfully do everything written in them. Obviously, if I forget these things, I won't naturally be appropriating them. So I need to be in the Word night and day so that you will faithfully do everything written in them. Only then will you prosper and succeed. Do you feel at all like your life has been stunted? I ask the question, how are you and the Word of God? Are you in it? Are you receiving it? Are you memorizing it? Are you taking it and living it out? Therefore, true statement. It seems Father God's people have managed their money from the world's viewpoint rather than His. I don't know that there'd be many that would disagree with that statement. So let's consider our Heavenly Father's responsibilities and our responsibilities with regard to money. Okay? Father God has some responsibilities towards us. And then we have ours. And so I invite you back next Sunday and we'll begin to cover those so that we can be on that road to financial freedom and the good life and away from the road that we've been taught that leads us to financial bondage and tension-filled lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so very much for not being angry with us, not being the kind of God that we'd be capricious and hurt us because we have mishandled that which is not ours, and in reality, all belongs to you. Help us, Father. Help us possibly through confession and repentance that we have handled that which is yours improperly. But today, through confession and repentance, I'm going to move in a new direction with the help of the Holy Spirit. I no longer wish to look at money in the natural way. I want to look at it, live with it, use it in a supernatural way, the way that you always intended it to be used. So, Father, please help each and every one of us that may find ourselves on that wrong road that leads to a life that is frustration because we use money that we didn't have. We use more of that which belonged to you, and it didn't belong to us to begin with. Help us. Help us to follow the dictates, the leading of the Holy Spirit, that we are truly doing the things that please you, that we are imitators of you in this whole area of the good life and financial freedom. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.